you know, some of the things that we share. That's why I kind of share these things. Each one of us have something that we can share with someone. Just the few things that I've experienced in my Christian walk. Those things can help and benefit someone. And you can share that and say, look, this is how I succeeded in this area. This is how I made it through. You see. You know, I remember back in 2001, came home from vacationing with our family, our parents and siblings, and I remember I was in the shower. I was home. We were up in Vermont. Came home, I'm in the shower, and the Holy Spirit said, if you don't go to the doctor and have your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. Well, that was a news flash. And you'd think I would just jump and run and go running to the doctor. I didn't. Because I had been standing in faith. See, I'd been working the word. This is where I learned some things. Some of us get stuck over here in one ditch, and then some of us get stuck in another ditch. See? Instead of, like Brother Hagin said, being led by the Spirit of God and go right down the middle of the road and use some wisdom. See, I'd been working the word to the place where I said, I'm gonna work this and I'm going to receive my healing. I started leaning on the word, and I should have, but I was ignoring some prompts to go see and get some attention. And I didn't. And so because of that, it got to the place where I was leading worship on the floor with Pastor Clinton, singing in the choir, fulfilling all my obligations here in the ministry, but I was in severe pain. Anybody who knows that when you have to breathe and you've got some pain in your stomach, it's not easy. There were times I stood at the pulpit singing and holding on because I thought I was going to hit the floor. In excruciating pain. And after a year of that, the Holy Ghost spoke. And he said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. And so after 2 weeks of more pain, I finally went to the doctor, and I finally had said to myself, fool, that was the Holy Ghost speaking to you, not the devil. And so I finally said, okay, that's 6 months. I don't have much time. And so I went to the doctor. But this is how I went to the emergency room. And of course, you know, they did what they were supposed to do. They said, here, take these meds. And I did, dutifully, because I'm looking to relieve some pain. Didn't do anything. And so I began to follow their instructions. This is how you need to be led. See, we need to not just run someplace like I said, okay, I got to go to the doctor. Nothing wrong with that. You still need to be led. You still need to be led. Because after I went to the doctor, he started speaking words over me. And my spirit down here was, I just said, something doesn't feel right about this direction I'm going. This doesn't feel right. And I never went back. I never went back to this doctor. I said, he may be the top specialist, but it's not right. I said some other things. I said, he's an idiot, but maybe that was just out of whatever. But he started speaking words over me and never examined me. And I said, you're an idiot. So I never went back. It just didn't feel right. You know what I mean? Something didn't feel right about this direction. So I called Pastor Sarah at the time. And I talked with her and she said, do you ever think about going to this person? Now that happened to be how God directed me. So I went to this doctor, and immediately he started speaking words over me, He said, I'll have this turned around in 2 weeks. And I'm like, he must have looked at me strange, and I look strange, because I'm thinking, 2 weeks? You got to be kidding me. And he said, this is exactly what he said to me. He said, boy, he said, you know how many of these I've dealt with in my career? He was in his 70s. He said, over 5,000. He had my attention. And he walked me through a natural process. That's how God dealt with me then and led me. But it felt right. There was peace down here. 1 week, my stomach started to ease. 2 weeks, it was almost gone. And he said, you're about 80% clear. My stomach was soft. And after 6 months, you couldn't tell I even had an issue. And so I asked him, a few months after all of this happened, I said, Doc, how bad was this? He said, 1 more week, they would have opened your stomach up. And I knew when he told me that, that would have been it right there. The Holy Ghost was right. If you hadn't done anything, you wouldn't have seen the end of the year, because it would have gone one thing after another and you'd have been gone. So the whole point in all of this is saying that whatever direction you take, you must be led by God's Spirit. If you go to a doctor, you must have peace here about the instructions and the directions that they want to do and take. You have to. God knows everything about you and the choices that you're about to make. So all of that, I'm sharing that with all of that, let's turn over to Romans chapter 5. Everything is based on a blood covenant. Romans chapter 5. I want to look at this for a moment. You must prove God's word for yourself. You can't live off my experience. And if you're walking through something, you must seek his help. Romans chapter 5, and looking at verse 1, we're talking about healing being provided for in the atonement that we've received through Christ's shed blood. Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, being justified, or we could say being made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have what? Access by what? Faith into what? This grace wherein we stand. We stand in grace by faith and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing what? That tribulations worketh patience, and patience what? Experience. Experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that what? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now look at verse 9. Much more then, being now what? Justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, through Christ. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This word life is Zoe. It's the life of God. We're saved by his life. Saved from what? Saved from death. Saved from our sins, saved from destruction, saved from sickness, saved from poverty. We're saved That means delivered because of his life. And verse 10 and 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, see this here? By whom we have now received what? The atonement. Wherefore, I want to look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and what? Death by sin. And so death passed upon who? All men, for that all have sinned. And so here you can see, someone might say, well, how did sickness get into this world? Here it is right here. You just read it in verse 10, 12. It said, by, it says here, what did it say? One man's sin, by one man's sin, what? Sin entered into the world, and what? Death by sin. Or you could say sickness by sin. So all of the fruit of sin entered into this earth by one man's offense. That was Adam. And it was going to take another man, sinless, to come in and offer himself for our sins and sickness to do what? Redeem us and atone for that. And of course, we have scripture for that. But it was going to take the death and the shed blood of Jesus. What does it say? He said he became, in Romans chapter 8, it says he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And so Jesus came for the sins of all mankind. And once that sin was paid for, and that's why when in Hebrews 10, Paul writes in there, he said that Jesus said, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So the sin that was held against us, said he's not imputing any trespasses against anybody. So that means all of the charges that were rightfully held against you were eliminated because of the blood of Jesus. So that means that all of the sin charges that were held against you have been remitted. They're gone. Can't find them. You know, in the world, if anybody's ever been incarcerated or been in jail, if you get out, you know, usually, I would say it this way, usually that record follows you. But in some instances, they say, you know what, that charge was incorrect, or we're going to expunge their record. That means it's erased. You can't find those charges held against someone. Can't find it. And so that means here that the blood of Jesus has literally wiped out everything that sin held against us. And that means anything that are the fruit of sin is been wiped out. It's been cleared. We've been cleared. So sin, disease entered into this world through how? Sin. And so since disease entered by sin, this is the point, then its remedy must be found in the redemption of Christ. That's where the remedy is. Has everybody got that? Everybody awake? So here we have, since disease is part of the curse, its remedy must be the cross. That's where the remedy is. So we could remove the curse, but God, or I'd say not we, who could remove the curse, but God, and how could God justly do it except by how? Substitution. He had to provide Christ. He was the substitute for this curse. Now when you, I think I want to just kind of lighten up on this, but if you go through the Old Testament, if you look through the first covenant, you can look at the book of Leviticus, you can look at the book of Numbers, you can look at all of the different offerings that were made and the things that were done. They were types and shadows of things to come. And so just, I'm going to read one here. This was in Leviticus 14 and 15. If you just, you don't have to, if you want to turn there, fine. I'm just going to read one scripture. But in the book of Leviticus, there was a lot of shedding of blood through the offering of bulls and goats and other things. But it's specifically in Leviticus 14 and 15, this was right at the beginning of Leviticus 14. You can see here, and I'm going to read verse 20, but just at the beginning, just after the book of Exodus, if you look at Leviticus 14, right, the very first and second verse, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the" what? "The leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be" what? "Healed in the leper." And then it goes on and talks about the how part. And in verse 20, it says this, "And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the" what? "The priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean." So we can see there's instances we have through the Old Testament where there was provision for healing if they did what? Obeyed the law. Well, then it says that Christ came and he is the mediator, not only between God and man, but he's also provided for a better covenant. So if provision was made for healing and to be cleaned and healed in the Old Testament, why wouldn't we have that in the New? So anybody saying, well, it may not be God's will, is they don't know their Bible. That's all I'm going to tell you. They don't know their Bible. That's just not true. Because Christ came to atone for that. And, of course, we have other scriptures. But let me read another in 2 Chronicles. This is talking about Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. That's why sometimes people make statements that are just not accurate. Now, you can read a lot of chapter 30, but I wanted to focus on just starting on page is stuck here. I'm going to read from 18 through 20, and just to keep it short here. It says, "For the multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh and Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves." So they were supposed to cleanse themselves before they took of the Passover meal. And it said here, "had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, The good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God." So he was standing in the gap here for them. "The Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And what did verse 20 say? And the Lord hearkened to who? Hezekiah, and did what? He healed the people. He did what? He healed the people. This is the old covenant. This is the Old Testament. Let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, a familiar scripture verse. And actually, let's start in verse 1 and go through verse 5. It says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness," talking about our master Jesus. "And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Now I want to just point out, if you look these words up, if you look up the word sorrows and grief, if you just look it up in a concordance, you know, some of us may, sometimes the King James doesn't translate as clearly as it could. But this word sorrows actually means pains. If you look it up in the Hebrew words in a dictionary, and it says the word grief is actually the word sickness. So you could really read this, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of pains and acquainted with sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not." Now again, using that same, these are the same words again, griefs and sorrows, it said here, "Surely he hath borne our sickness and carried our pains, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." So we can see here that there was provision for healing in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And we can see in the New Testament, this particular scripture also is referenced. Go over to Matthew chapter 8 and look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17 is actually referencing this particular scripture that we just read. And verse 17, "that it might be filled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our," what? "Sicknesses." He bare them. So we have evidence here that when Jesus went to the cross, he took our sicknesses. He took our sin. He became sin. And he went to hell, and that when justice was paid for, he was released. When our sins were paid for, he was released, and we were released from that sin and sickness. So you can see here that redemption through the blood of Christ, that means that we were bought back. Let me reference a few other scriptures in the Old Testament here that serve as proof here. These are familiar scriptures. Exodus 23. This is a familiar scripture verse. Sometimes we pray this over our food when we pray. Exodus 23 and verse 25. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. This is the Old Testament now. Psalm 103, verse 1, 2, and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. We just got done reading that over in Isaiah. He forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 105. This is talking about I was actually referencing, if you go over to Exodus, actually, let me turn over there and just see something here. This is actually referencing the story of the Israelites and Moses coming through the Red Sea. I believe Exodus 15. And Psalm 105, it says, he brought them forth, in verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one. And if you go over to Exodus 15, I'll tell you, that must have been a shout in time. They come through the Red Sea. In the first verse of chapter 15, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. But if you go to the end of the chapter, in verse 26, it said, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these. Actually, the word means to be, it means allowed. God's not putting diseases on thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that what? Healeth thee. He's Jehovah what? Rapha. He is the same as Jesus, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he is the Lamb slain from when? The foundation of the world. And if you go to Malachi 3:6, you don't have to go there. He said, I am the Lord that what? He says, I am the Lord and I change not. He changes not. Now, let's look at James for a minute. Go over to James chapter 1. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're walking through something in your body, you need to keep reminding yourself, no matter what you feel, first of all, get direction from God. You know, I had some symptoms in my body recently. And I called Pastor Greg. I said, look, I need to stay home today. And I was quick. I was feeling like I needed to go to the emergency room. But before I did, I could have driven myself. I didn't need to call 911, but I felt like I needed to go. But I sat down, and I wasn't feeling too good. And I sat down and I said, okay, Holy Ghost, what should I do? That's what I did. And right down here I heard, hold steady, speak to it. And it, same way it came, it'll leave. And I did. I'm telling you, I didn't feel good. I didn't feel good at all. And some of the things I was seeing didn't look good either. But he told me, he said, keep speaking to it. And the same way it came, it will go. And I did. Now, I was responsible to teach one Wednesday night, and I told Pastor Greg, I called him, I said, look, I can push myself in and teach, but I'm going to, if you will, if you please cover for me tonight. He said, okay, I will. I'll cover for you. And then a few times I drove out to Pennsylvania and, you know, not feeling the greatest, but I went anyways in faith and I kept going. But these symptoms left. Now, eventually, I did miss one service in Pennsylvania. It was a couple of, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I was home, and I didn't feel like, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the emergency room. So I went. And I was there for 3 hours. They tested everything, and they said, goodbye. So I had all good intentions. It was 3-something in the morning. I had to get up at 5:30. And so I maybe get a couple hours sleep. And I had all good intentions to go to Pennsylvania, and I overslept. So I had to call Minister Joe and tell him, please fill in for me, because Pastor Greg was here. But from that point, I just kept speaking and speaking and speaking. I did go. I did follow some natural doctor things, but they discharged me and said, you don't need anything. So they let me go. And so that's the point. I first listened down here and said, what should I do? I've learned a few things, not to just ignore something, but to listen. And if he wanted me to go take a particular path, I would have done it. And so that's the point, that we need to follow God's direction. Healing is provided for us. And the process of restoration is a process. And I'm going to also say this, because it's in the book of Christ the Healer. There are a number of reasons why we don't receive our healing, even though it is provided. Sometimes, not all times, but sometimes we ignore natural things that are going on in our body and we keep plowing ahead. And God is saying, lose some weight. Stop eating this food. Stop drinking coffee. Don't do this. Don't do that. And we go, I like that food. I'm not stopping. And you pay the price. So you can't blame God. He's been warning you all along. And some of us have been getting prompts to change things, but we're just, I got to have that food. I got to have this. I got to have that. I'm not changing. I remember, this is years ago, many years ago, when we were having a lot of people. This was after a production that we did here with Pastor Clinton. And one of the members here, a well-known person here, he wanted to do a little something after that, and he's invited everybody over. And this is what this person said. And I went, really? He said, I eat what I want, when I want, nobody's telling me otherwise. And I went, really? Okay. And that person ended up with some real health issues because he was going to eat what he wanted, when he wanted, and nobody was going to tell him. And I said, well, Somebody at some point in your life, maybe like a doctor, might tell you, you have to stop eating it. So somebody will tell you. And so sometimes, think about this. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in this physical body. So I like what Pastor Hagen shares a lot of times. He said, it's the natural and the supernatural coming together for an explosive force for God. But you can't violate natural laws and keep applying spiritual laws and then violating natural laws. Sometimes it doesn't work, and you're going to run into a challenge. And God knows that. So you need to make adjustments. I'm not telling everybody how to eat. That's something that God, by His Spirit, will show you. Don't eat this. Everybody's different. But how many know that things that you could do when you were younger, you can't necessarily do when you get older? And you want to keep eating and doing the things you do when you get older, and sometimes it kind of, you hit a wall, don't you? And we're not willing to make adjustments. And then we start blaming things. And God is a good God. He loves us, and He's trying to help us. But sometimes we're just being dumb. That's all, hard-headed. And we don't like to change until we're forced to change. But all along, He's been nudging us, don't do that anymore. Go to the gym. Go do some extra walking. Don't do this. Don't eat that. Back off. Eat one plate instead of three. Don't eat that pie anymore. I got to have my piece of pie and ice cream. Okay. Until someone tells you you can't. So why don't you just do everything in moderation? Right? Just have a little of this and a little of this. You know, it was a great insight to me, and some of us have learned this, that when you lose weight, your stomach gets smaller. You don't require as much to eat. So instead of those three plates, now you can only eat a quarter of a plate. Right? Because your stomach is smaller. It's funny. Anyways. But we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Thank God. Now let's turn over to Galatians 3:13. Well, actually, let's do this. Go over to Proverbs 4 for a minute. Proverbs 4. And go to verses 20 through 23. And we'll conclude here. Proverbs 4. You know, I think about this, you know, since I went through that health issue back in 2000, 2001, I'm more conscious of what I eat. And very conscious. And I read a lot of articles and so forth on just health-related things. But what's interesting is things, you know, sometimes we say, well, why did our parents and grandparents live so much longer than what's going on? Because of the stuff that the curse has been perpetrated through this world system that we're in, and the darkness, it's getting worse and worse, and they're pushing stuff in your food that you ain't even got. You can't even, you'd need a 10 degrees to even pronounce it. You don't even know what it is. And it's crazy. So nothing in the sense of, we say, well, I'm eating a wholesome food. You don't even know how it's prepared, what it is, stuff. You know, we're buying stuff that's not even natural, and we're eating it, and we're you know, reaping the results of it. So that's why I said you need to be led sometimes as to what you buy, how what you're doing with what you're putting in your system. You need to think about it as much as we meditate in the Word of God. But Proverbs 4 says, "My son," verse 20, "my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and what? Health to all their flesh." Then what does it say? "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Let me read some translations of verse 22. It says, this is the Knox translation. It says, "Let a man master them." He's talking about the Word of God. "They will bring life and healing to his whole body." The Living Bible, it says, "Let them penetrate deep within your heart." The Contemporary English Version says, "Knowing these teachings will mean true life and good health for you." The Easy to Read Version, "These words are the secret of life and health to all who discover them." So I'm going to make this point. The Word of God cannot be health to either your soul or your body before it's heard, received, and attended to or acted upon. The Word of God cannot be health and healing before, or I'll say it this way, it must be heard, it must be received, and it must be attended to or proven. Because that's just exactly what it says. It said, "My son," it doesn't say their health, their life, and health to all your flesh. First, it says, "My son," what? "Attend unto my words." So you got to attend to it. "Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." For what? "Then, for they are life." That's unto those that find them. That means you've been attending to them, you've been listening to them, you've been meditating upon them, you've been keeping them in your heart, and then they're life and health to all your flesh. Not before. This isn't a, I don't want to call this, this isn't a quick fix. You've got to spend time meditating in the Word of God, thinking about it, speaking it over you. We've gotten, I remember Pastor Clinton used to share it, we've gotten so microwave-minded, push, boop, bop, boop, I want it. Well, there's some work involved here. There's some planting. A farmer doesn't just say, "Hey, where's my harvest?" He's got to plow the field. He's got to sow the seed. It's got to be watered. It's got to be weeded. It's got to be nurtured and tended to. Then the harvest. He had to do something. And so do we. And so we're mature enough now. Most of us have heard this. But if there's things that maybe are not working, we need to look at, are we attending to his word? Are we inclining our ears to it? Are we looking at it and meditating upon it? Are we constantly sowing it in our hearts? Or are we just not even thinking about it, and then an issue comes up and it's like, "Oh man, I need help." Well, we should have thought about that. We should have been sowing. We should have been watering. We should have been meditating on the Word of God so that we walk in what? Not just dealing with these issues that we come across every now and then, but we're walking in what? Divine health. We're walking in a divine health, like prosperity. We're walking in a divine prosperity so that we are strong and strengthened, and we're listening not only just meditating in the Word of God and speaking, but we're listening to God's Spirit as to how we should conduct our daily affairs, where our eating is concerned and our health. That's all part of it. That's part of our covenant. Because that's exactly what does it say in Deuteronomy 28? It says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to do what? To observe and to do all his commandments." So you can see here, we've got to hearken diligently unto his voice. Amen. That includes me. I'm making adjustments. I'm making adjustments all the time. Things that I could do 6 months ago, 8 months ago. He's saying, don't do that anymore. Make an adjustment. Don't be stuck in the way you do things. Make adjustments. Be willing to say, you know what? That was the Holy Ghost. I need to fix that. I need to correct that. And that's what we have to do. Otherwise, we run into issues that we didn't need to. Now, he's merciful. He's kind and generous, and his mercies are new every morning. But we need to listen. Amen. So his word is health and medicine. It's, you know, it says it's life and health. It's life and medicine to all my flesh. You get enough of God's word in you, sickness can't stay there. It can't stay there. Disease can't stay there. And if you read enough of those that have gone on before us, they spent time, when you look at some of these early pioneers of the word of faith, they meditated and fed upon the word of God to the point where disease left their bodies. Literally. Left. And we should have nothing less. We should be walking in the same light as they did. Amen. 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 I'm going to finish and just close down here for today. But let's determine, yes, these bodies are going to get older and they're going to wax older, as the scripture says. But it don't have to wax sick. Amen. If you can read where Joshua said, I'm 80 some years old and I'm just as good as I was when I was younger, we should be saying the same thing. Amen. Not, I'm so weak, I'm so tired, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Well, you're having what you say. You know, I've come to this realization in meditating on confession that if we would just speak the promises of God and stop trying to determine or predetermine how something is going to work out and let God lead us by his Spirit, then that's the best way. See, I've learned through, I guess you would call it ignorance in some ways, that you determine, okay, I'm going to go this route. I'm going to do this. I'm going to stand on God's word and do this. Maybe he don't want you to do that. Not stand on God's word, but he may say, go over there and do that. And you go, but I never did that before. Right. So what I'm saying is just speak the promises of God. And for you, he may give you some directions that are different from somebody else. He knows you. Just like when I was confessing over my finances, or wasn't, and I was speaking the word of healing over my body, he started to talk to me about my finances and things that I wasn't doing. And so we need to be astute enough as students of the Bible. Take the promises of God, speak them, and let God direct us. It says, what does it say? Let me just read this and we'll close with this scripture. Turn to Isaiah Turn to, I believe it's chapter 55. And look at verses 8 through 11. Isaiah 55. I want everybody to look at this. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Thank God. "Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Thank God. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, I like to say it this way. If you thought it up or you think it, it's so low. It says his ways and thoughts are as high as the heavens above the earth. So you think, I got this brilliant idea. Really? Okay. Verse 10, "For as the rain cometh down in the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to what? Bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Now, verse 11, "So shall my word be that what? Goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto or whereto I sent it." So if we just speak the word of God, he's going to watch over his word to fulfill it. So if I just speak the word of God, my body's strong. My body's blessed. It's healed. And the healing life of God is working in me. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and he's quickening and giving life to my mortal body. If I just speak those words, he will direct you as to how to fulfill that. So if you're doing something natural that causes that to not be fulfilled, he's going to start saying to you, do this, change this, go over here and do this. He's going to fulfill that word, and he's going to direct you if you are doing something in the natural that violates that or works against that. Does that make sense? So we need to keep speaking the word and let him direct us. Let him do what he said he's going to do. I will fulfill this word. It shall not return unto me void, empty, non-producing. It'll produce. So I don't care what challenge you run into, you keep speaking God's promises over your body. "My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health and medicine to all your flesh." Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for this life-giving, healing word that courses through our bodies, that changes and rectifies and drives sickness out of our body, gives us strength in this body to carry on and do the will of God. We thank you that the healing virtue, the eternal life of God, is working in us now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.